Good evening.
Good evening.
Wow. Welcome to Unity Church Unitarian, where we are committed to welcoming all peoples, especially those who have been excluded due to race, gender identity, or sexual orientation. A special welcome to those of you who are visiting here for the very first time. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you to find and keep your balance, a place which nourishes you and inspires you to lead a life of love, integrity, service, and joy. We invite you to sign our visitor's book at the welcome table so that we can keep in touch with you. We also invite you to take one of our classes designed for newcomers and those considering membership. The Welcome to Unity class, which is offered on November 7th, you can sign up for it at the welcome table. I'd like to call your attention to this week at Unity, which is the yellow sheet in your order of service. It serves as an invitation and a roadmap for deeper involvement here at Unity Church Unitarian. Please note that this Wednesday, there is no Wellspring Wednesday programming. I look forward to seeing each of you in your bunny rabbit costumes out trick-or-treating. Next Saturday, November 3rd, please join us from 8:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. for our monthly pancake breakfast, hosted by Interweave Ministry Team. The cost is $3, $10 maximum for a family. It's fresh pancakes, local sausage, real maple syrup, and it's the best breakfast you can get anywhere. And I've tried those pancakes. They're light and fluffy. Following this service this afternoon, please join us for a soup dinner in the parish hall, where you connect with friends new and old, as well as learn more about our faith community. Today in parish hall, the outreach ministries will have tables. We encourage you to stop by and learn how you can get involved and serve our community and our church. Next Sunday, the service entitled Identity and Violence will be led by Rob Eller Isaacs, who will be joined by worship associate Mary Bearmore. Services are at 9, 11, and 4:30. Following today's service, Sarah and I would love to greet you at the Portland Street Avenue door. And once again, welcome, welcome, welcome to Unity Church Unitarian.
Let America be America again. Let it be the dream it used to be. Let it be the pioneer on the plain, seeking a home where he himself is free.
America never was America to me.
Let America be the dream the dreamers dreamed. Let it be that strong land of love, where never kings connive nor tyrants scheme that any man be crushed by one above.
Oh, let my land be a land where liberty is crowned with no false patriotic wreath, but opportunity is real and life is free. Equality is in the air we breathe.
There's never been equality for me, nor freedom in this homeland of the free.
Oh yes, I say it plain. America never was America to me. And yet I swear this oath, America will be. Out of the rack and ruin of our gangster death, the rape and rot of graft and stealth and lies, we the people must redeem the land, the mines, the plants, the rivers, the mountains, and the endless plain. All the stretch of these great green states, and make America again. Come, let us worship together.
Standing and join with me in reading in unison number 601 in the back of your hymnal, When All the People. When all the people of the world love, then the strong will not overpower the weak, the many will not oppress the few. The wealthy will not mock the poor. The honored will not disdain the humble. The cunning will not deceive the simple.
Each time we gather for worship, whether here in the sanctuary or upstairs in the chapel, we set aside time to expand the caring ministry of this, our beloved congregation. Together we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that forms the center of this, our sacred place. Our hearts are with all those who live with grief or chronic pain, for illness seen and unseen, those in prison, those who live with addiction or with mental illness, those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly face their final days with curiosity and courage. We celebrate the life and mourn the death of Virginia Rader. Virginia died yesterday peacefully, surrounded by her loving daughter, Susan. Details of her memorial service will be forthcoming. We send our healing thoughts to Jackie DeLong, who is currently at HCMC with serious medical issues. We hold John Loban and Jeannie Kumaro in our thoughts and prayers as they grieve the loss of John's mother, Joan Loban, who died this past week on her 92nd birthday. Her funeral will be held this week. We celebrate with Priscilla McAfee in the upcoming wedding of her daughter in Houston, Texas. And may we stand in compassion solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and we be instruments of a lasting peace. Amen. Let us pray. Transcending spirit of loving life, fall afresh on us individually and collectively. We humbly gather as a faith community to be reminded that love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is its sacrament and service its prayer. We are grateful for the breath of life that flows in us, through us, and between us. We hold in our hearts all those who greet this day in the midst of suffering, dying, and death. We especially lift up those who have lost their home and land as a result of the raging fires in California. O bread of life, we come with minds that are hungry for truths, O water of life, we come with souls that are thirsty for forgiveness. O way of life, we come with wills that are searching for direction. O spirit of life, we come hoping and longing for beloved community. In this holy place, may we be refreshed, may we be spiritually fed, may we know forgiveness, and may we be empowered to change the narrowness of our vision and the pettiness of our lives. With soft eyes, may we see our gifts and deepen our discernment as to how to use our gifts to bless each other and to bless all the people in the world. Amen. Thank you, Oasis. I invite the children and all of those young at heart to come and gather on the carpet for a story for all ages. Are there any children in the 4:30 service? I think you're going to be joined by a few more different souls. Well, thank you. Where two or more are gathered. Well, thank you for joining me today. It's a delight to see each of your faces. I have a special story for you that was given to me by my grandmother. When I was your age, and your age, which was kind of a long time ago, a real long time ago, I had three favorite games. And I kept the pieces to my game in a box that was much like this when I was your age. And I wrapped the box in the funnies from the newspaper, and I would place the box under my bed at my grandmother's house. Well, my most favorite game was jump rope, believe it or not. I love jump rope, and I could jump rope for hours, like this. You know, it was quite fun when I was younger. My second favorite game was hopscotch. I had wonderful sidewalk chalk. My grandmother had a wonderful porch, and I could draw a big hopscotch on her porch. And I had a favorite flat rock, because in hopscotch, you know, you have to stand there, and you put the rock in your hand, and you have to land it in the square. I was pretty good at that, I thought, and I would go. Then you turn and pick up your rock. But when I was your age, I didn't lose my breath. My other favorite game was Jacks. Have you ever seen Jacks? You have? Okay. I just love the color of Jacks, and I love the way they felt in my hand. You know, you put them out like that, and then you bounce the ball, and you have to pick them all up. I can still do it. Well, the other fun part about playing these games was that I could play with my cousins, who lived right next door to my grandmother. So early in the morning, I would get up, and I'd go over to their house, and I'd knock on the door, and I'd say, come play with me. But come and play with me at my grandmother's house, because I loved my grandmother's house best. So one day, I was out playing, and I heard my grandmother go, Jacqueline? I knew something was not so good. So I put all my stuff in the box. I stopped what I was doing right away, and I put my box under my arm, and I went to the door, and I said, yes, Nana, that's what I called my grandmother. And she said, can you come into the kitchen and talk with me for a few minutes? Well, then I knew my grandmother was upset with me, because only very important conversations took place in the kitchen. So I slowly walked with my box under my arm to the kitchen. I found a place to sit across from my grandmother. I put my box down. And my grandmother said, you were speaking awfully loudly to your cousins. And I said, we were having fun, Nana. She said, when I looked out the door, you were the only one who looked like they were having fun. I just kind of smiled. And my grandmother says, Jacqueline, do you know why you like playing those games? I didn't know. Maybe some of you have done this. I pulled my shoulders up to my ears and kind of shook my head, because I didn't have an answer to that question. Well, my grandmother asked me another hard question. She says, I think you like playing those games because you win most of the time. Well, I got a big smile, because I liked winning. My grandmother says, do you know why you win most of the time, Jacqueline? Well, that was another hard question. I didn't have an answer, so again, I pulled my shoulders up to my ears and went, well, of course my grandmother had an answer. And her answer was, Jacqueline, you have long legs and long arms. and you can jump far. You can jump farther than most of your cousins. I was still kind of smiling. Then she said, when you jump rope, you can turn that rope over and over and over a long time because your arms are very strong. You can do it longer than most of your cousins, and I'm still smiling. And she said, well, then she did a really funny thing. Can you put your hand next to my hand? I said, can you do like this? Yeah. My grandmother said, look, Jacqueline, look how long your fingers are. Your hands are bigger than my hands, and because your hands are so big, you can pick up all of those jacks. Well, I was still kind of smiling. And my grandmother said, you know what, Jacqueline? Most kids your age are smaller than you. And she said, because that was the truth, it was my job to find games that were fun and safe that my cousins and my friends would like to play and have fun with too. My grandmother said that sharing was really important and that I needed to learn how to play those games at their house. I loved my grandmother, and she taught me many lessons, and that was a really big one. She said that sharing was really important and playing fair was really important to having good friendships. And I want each of you to have good friendships. Thank you for listening to my story. It's a delight to have each of you here. And it's time to go to your classes. And if the congregation could please sing them to their classes, and the words are found in your order of service. It is the habit here at Unity Church Unitarian that a large percent of our offering is given to community agencies. This Sunday, the offering plate is going to Open Door Outreach. Open Door is an educational and support service for people with anxiety and panic disorders. The program offers the anxiety sufferer hope and deeply needed support. Unity Church members Ron and Nancy Reed and their son Jason are involved in Open Door. I would also like to bring your attention to this Tuesday, October 30th, the Unity Restorative Justice Ministry team is sponsoring a festive evening to introduce all of us to restorative justice work here in the church. The evening will begin with appetizers and wine at 5:30. There will be a simple, hearty supper, song, and we'll end with an experience of restorative justice and peace circles. Will the ushers please come forward? Let our material gifts make possible spiritual ministries of reconciliation and love-restored communities. Please give generously.
Thank you.
Peggy McIntosh, a scholar and teacher long associated with Wellesley College's Center for Research on Women, wrote this essay in 1988. I've come to see white privilege as an invisible package of unearned assets that I can count on cashing in each day, but about which I was meant to remain oblivious. White privilege is like an invisible, weightless knapsack of special provisions, maps, passports, code books, visas, clothes, tools, and blank checks. My schooling gave me no training in seeing myself as an oppressor, as an unfairly advantaged person, or as a participant in a damaged culture. I was taught to see myself as an individual whose moral state depended on her individual moral will. I began to count the ways in which I enjoy unearned privilege and have been conditioned into oblivion about its existence. I can, if I wish, arrange to be in the company of people of my race most of the time. If I should need to move, I can be pretty sure of renting or purchasing housing in an area that I can afford and in which I would want to live. I can be pretty sure that the neighbors there would be neutral or even pleasant to me. I can go shopping alone most of the time, pretty well assured that I will not be followed or harassed. I can turn on the TV or open the newspaper and see people of my race widely represented. I can go into a music shop and count on finding the music of my race, into a supermarket and find the staple foods that fit with my cultural traditions, into a hairdresser's and find someone who can deal with my hair. Whether I use checks, credit cards, or cash, I can count on my skin color not to work against the appearance of financial reliability. I can swear or wear ratty clothes or not answer letters without having people attribute those choices to the bad morals, the poverty, or the illiteracy of my race. I can do well in a challenging situation without being called a credit to my race. I'm never asked to speak for all the people in my racial group. I can criticize our government and talk about how much I fear its policies and its behavior without being seen as a cultural outsider. If my day, week, or year is going badly, I need not ask of each negative episode or situation whether it has racial overtones. This list. I repeatedly forgot each of the realizations on this list until I wrote it down. For me, this white privilege has turned out to be an elusive and fugitive subject. The pressure to avoid it is great, for in facing it, I must give up the myth of meritocracy. If these things are true, this is not such a free country. One's life is not what one makes it, and many doors open for certain people through no virtues of their own. In my class and place, I did not see myself as racist because I was taught to recognize racism in individual acts of meanness by members of my group, not in invisible systems conferring unsought racial dominance on my group from birth. Disapproving of the systems won't be enough to change them. To redesign social systems, we need first to acknowledge their colossal unseen dimensions. The silences and denials surrounding privilege are the key political tool here. They keep the thinking about equality or equity incomplete, protecting unearned advantage and conferred dominance by making these subjects taboo. What will we do with such knowledge?
Responsibility by Linda Back McKay, a local poet here in Minneapolis. In the garden with five mosquitoes per inch, I dance a hop, slap set of steps and squat to plant, helping their quality of life, hoping for tomatoes. It is all so easy and joyful if you think about it, being overfed and free in America. You get rid of all the tacky furniture and you buy new. You hire the painter, Lilac Bloom, a good movie goes to video. You sleep like the dead. The children who can't go home again are stories in the newspaper. You want to cancel because it's all bad news. You've raised your children. Most of us are not pure. Every choice is a loss. It's not my life that is difficult. I know there's sorrow, but there's nothing I can do. Give a little money, volunteer for some things. I'd go to church if I thought it'd do any good. It feels fresh here in the garden, washed by the rain and the sun shines. The pepper plants are blooming. Good evening.
Good evening.
Wow. Welcome to Unity Church Unitarian, where we are committed to welcoming all peoples, especially those who have been excluded due to race, gender identity, or sexual orientation. A special welcome to those of you who are visiting here for the very first time. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you to find and keep your balance, a place which nourishes you and inspires you to lead a life of love, integrity, service, and joy. We invite you to sign our visitor's book at the welcome table so that we can keep in touch with you. We also invite you to take one of our classes designed for newcomers and those considering membership. The Welcome to Unity class, which is offered on November 7th, you can sign up for it at the welcome table. I'd like to call your attention to This Week at Unity, which is the yellow sheet in your order of service. It serves as an invitation and a roadmap for deeper involvement here at Unity Church Unitarian. Please note that this Wednesday, there is no Wellspring Wednesday programming. I look forward to seeing each of you in your bunny rabbit costumes out trick-or-treating. Next Saturday, November 3rd, please join us from 8:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. for our monthly pancake breakfast, hosted by Interweave Ministry Team. The cost is $3, $10 maximum for a family. It's fresh pancakes, local sausage, real maple syrup, and it's the best breakfast you can get anywhere. And I've tried those pancakes. They're light and fluffy. Following this service this afternoon, please join us for a soup dinner in the parish hall, where you connect with friends new and old, as well as learn more about our faith community. Today in parish hall, the outreach ministries will have tables. We encourage you to stop by and learn how you can get involved and serve our community and our church. Next Sunday, the service entitled Identity and Violence will be led by Rob Eller Isaacs, who will be joined by worship associate Mary Bearmore. Services are at 9, 11, and 4:30. Following today's service, Sarah and I would love to greet you at the Portland Street Avenue door. And once again, welcome, welcome, welcome to Unity Church Unitarian.
Let America be America again. Let it be the dream it used to be. Let it be the pioneer on the plain, seeking a home where he himself is free.
America never was America to me.
Let America be the dream the dreamers dreamed. Let it be that strong land of love, where never kings connive nor tyrants scheme that any man be crushed by one above.
Oh, let my land be a land where liberty is crowned with no false patriotic wreath, but opportunity is real and life is free. Equality is in the air we breathe.
There's never been equality for me, nor freedom in this homeland of the free.
Oh yes, I say it plain. America never was America to me. And yet I swear this oath, America will be. Out of the rack and ruin of our gangster death, the rape and rot of graft and stealth and lies, we the people must redeem the land, the mines, the plants, the rivers, the mountains, and the endless plain. All the stretch of these great green states, and make America again. Come, let us worship together.
Standing and join with me in reading in unison number 601 in the back of your hymnal, When All the People. When all the people of the world love, then the strong will not overpower the weak, the many will not oppress the few. The wealthy will not mock the poor. The honored will not disdain the humble. The cunning will not deceive the simple.
Each time we gather for worship, whether here in the sanctuary or upstairs in the chapel, we set aside time to expand the caring ministry of this, our beloved congregation. Together we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that forms the center of this, our sacred place. Our hearts are with all those who live with grief or chronic pain, for illness seen and unseen, those in prison, those who live with addiction or with mental illness, those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly face their final days with curiosity and courage. We celebrate the life and mourn the death of Virginia Rader. Virginia died yesterday peacefully, surrounded by her loving daughter, Susan. Details of her memorial service will be forthcoming. We send our healing thoughts to Jackie DeLong, who is currently at HCMC with serious medical issues. We hold John Loban and Jeannie Kumaro in our thoughts and prayers as they grieve the loss of John's mother, Joan Loban, who died this past week on her 92nd birthday. Her funeral will be held this week. We celebrate with Priscilla McAfee in the upcoming wedding of her daughter in Houston, Texas. And may we stand in compassion, solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and we be instruments of a lasting peace. Amen. Let us pray. Transcending spirit of loving life, fall afresh on us individually and collectively. We humbly gather as a faith community to be reminded that love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is its sacrament and service its prayer. We are grateful for the breath of life that flows in us, through us, and between us. We hold in our hearts all those who greet this day in the midst of suffering, dying, and death. We especially lift up those who have lost their home and land as a result of the raging fires in California. O bread of life, we come with minds that are hungry for truths, O water of life, we come with souls that are thirsty for forgiveness. O way of life, we come with wills that are searching for direction. O spirit of life, we come hoping and longing for beloved community. In this holy place, may we be refreshed, may we be spiritually fed, may we know forgiveness, and may we be empowered to change the narrowness of our vision and the pettiness of our lives. With soft eyes, may we see our gifts and deepen our discernment as to how to use our gifts to bless each other and to bless all the people in the world. Amen. Thank you, Oasis. I invite the children and all of those young at heart to come and gather on the carpet for a story for all ages. Are there any children in the 4:30 service? I think you're going to be joined by a few more different souls. Well, thank you. Where two or more are gathered. Well, thank you for joining me today. It's a delight to see each of your faces. I have a special story for you that was given to me by my grandmother. When I was your age, and your age, which was kind of a long time ago, a real long time ago, I had three favorite games. And I kept the pieces to my game in a box that was much like this when I was your age. And I wrapped the box in the funnies from the newspaper, and I would place the box under my bed at my grandmother's house. Well, my most favorite game was jump rope, believe it or not. I love jump rope, and I could jump rope for hours, like this. You know? It was quite fun when I was younger. My second favorite game was hopscotch. I had wonderful sidewalk chalk. My grandmother had a wonderful porch, and I could draw a big hopscotch on her porch. And I had a favorite flat rock, because in hopscotch, you know, you have to stand there, and you put the rock in your hand, and you have to land it in the square. I was pretty good at that, I thought, and I would go. Then you turn and pick up your rock. But when I was your age, I didn't lose my breath. My other favorite game was jacks. Have you ever seen jacks? You have? Okay. I just love the color of jacks, and I love the way they felt in my hand. You know, you put them out like that, and then you bounce the ball, and you have to pick them all up. I can still do it. Well, the other fun part about playing these games was that I could play with my cousins who lived right next door to my grandmother. So early in the morning, I would get up and I'd go over to their house and I'd knock on the door and I'd say, come play with me, but come and play with me at my grandmother's house because I loved my grandmother's house best. So one day I was out playing and I heard my grandmother go, Jacqueline? I knew something was not so good. So I put all my stuff in the box. I stopped what I was doing right away, and I put my box under my arm, and I went to the door, and I said, yes, Nana, that's what I called my grandmother. And she said, can you come into the kitchen and talk with me for a few minutes? Well, then I knew my grandmother was upset with me because only very important conversations took place in the kitchen. So I slowly walked with my box under my arm to the kitchen. I found a place to sit across from my grandmother. I put my box down. And my grandmother said, you were speaking awfully loudly to your cousins. And I said, we were having fun, Nana. She said, when I looked out the door, you were the only one who looked like they were having fun. I just kind of smiled. And my grandmother says, Jacqueline, do you know why you like playing those games? I didn't know. Maybe some of you've done this. I pulled my shoulders up to my ears and kind of shook my head because I didn't have an answer to that question. Well, my grandmother asked me another hard question. She says, I think you like playing those games because you win most of the time. Well, I got a big smile because I liked winning. My grandmother says, do you know why you win most of the time, Jacqueline? Well, that was another hard question. I didn't have an answer. So again, I pulled my shoulders up to my ears and went, well, of course my grandmother had an answer. And her answer was, Jacqueline, you have long legs and long arms, and you can jump far You can jump farther than most of your cousins. I was still kind of smiling. Then she said, when you jump rope, you can turn that rope over and over and over a long time because your arms are very strong. You can do it longer than most of your cousins. And I'm still smiling. And she said, well, then she did a really funny thing. Can you put your hand next to my hand? I said, can you do like this? Yeah. My grandmother said, look, Jacqueline, look how long your fingers are. Your hands are bigger than my hands. And because your hands are so big, you can pick up all of those jacks. Well, I was still kind of smiling. And my grandmother said, you know what, Jacqueline? Most kids your age are smaller than you. And she said, because that was the truth, it was my job to find games that were fun and safe that my cousins and my friends would like to play and have fun with too. My grandmother said that sharing was really important and that I needed to learn how to play those games at their house. I loved my grandmother, and she taught me many lessons, and that was a really big one. She said that sharing was really important, and playing fair was really important to having good friendships. And I want each of you to have good friendships. Thank you for listening to my story. It's a delight to have each of you here, and it's time to go to your classes. And if the congregation could please sing them to their classes, and the words are found in your order of service. It is the habit here at Unity Church Unitarian that a large percent of our offering is given to community agencies. This Sunday, the offering plate is going to Open Door Outreach. Open Door is an educational and support service for people with anxiety and panic disorders. The program offers the anxiety sufferer hope and deeply needed support. Unity Church members Ron and Nancy Reed and their son Jason are involved in Open Door. I would also like to bring your attention to this Tuesday, October 30th, the Unity Restorative Justice Ministry team is sponsoring a festive evening to introduce all of us to restorative justice work here in the church. The evening will begin with appetizers and wine at 5:30. There will be a simple, hearty supper, song, and we'll end with an experience of restorative justice and peace circles. Will the ushers please come forward? Let our material gifts make possible spiritual ministries of reconciliation and love-restored communities. Please give generously.
Peggy McIntosh, a scholar and teacher long associated with Wellesley College's Center for Research on Women, wrote this essay in 1988. I've come to see white privilege as an invisible package of unearned assets that I can count on cashing in each day, but about which I was meant to remain oblivious. White privilege is like an invisible, weightless knapsack of special provisions, maps, passports, code books, visas, clothes, tools, and blank checks. My schooling gave me no training in seeing myself as an oppressor, as an unfairly advantaged person, or as a participant in a damaged culture. I was taught to see myself as an individual whose moral state depended on her individual moral will. I began to count the ways in which I enjoy unearned privilege and have been conditioned into oblivion about its existence. I can, if I wish, arrange to be in the company of people of my race most of the time. If I should need to move, I can be pretty sure of renting or purchasing housing in an area that I can afford and in which I would want to live. I can be pretty sure that the neighbors there would be neutral or even pleasant to me. I can go shopping alone most of the time, pretty well assured that I will not be followed or harassed. I can turn on the TV or open the newspaper and see people of my race widely represented. I can go into a music shop and count on finding the music of my race, into a supermarket and find the staple foods that fit with my cultural traditions, into a hairdresser's and find someone who can deal with my hair. Whether I use checks, credit cards, or cash, I can count on my skin color not to work against the appearance of financial unreliability. Reliability. I can swear or wear ratty clothes or not answer letters without having people attribute those choices to the bad morals, the poverty, or the illiteracy of my race. I can do well in a challenging situation without being called a credit to my race. I am never asked to speak for all the people in my racial group. I can criticize our government and talk about how much I fear its policies and its behavior without being seen as a cultural outsider. If my day, week, or year is going badly, I need not ask of each negative episode or situation whether it has racial overtones. This list. I repeatedly forgot each of the realizations on this list until I wrote it down. For me, this white privilege has turned out to be an elusive and fugitive subject. The pressure to avoid it is great, for in facing it, I must give up the myth of meritocracy. If these things are true, this is not such a free country. One's life is not what one makes it, and many doors open for certain people through no virtues of their own. In my class and place, I did not see myself as racist because I was taught to recognize racism in individual acts of meanness by members of my group, not in invisible systems conferring unsought racial dominance on my group from birth. Disapproving of the systems won't be enough to change them. To redesign social systems, we need first to acknowledge their colossal, unseen dimensions. The silences and denials surrounding privilege are the key political tool here. They keep the thinking about equality or equity incomplete, protecting unearned advantage and conferred dominance by making these subjects taboo. What will we do with such knowledge?
Responsibility by Linda Back McKay, a local poet here in Minneapolis. In the garden with five mosquitoes per inch, I dance a hop-slap set of steps and squat to plant, helping their quality of life, hoping for tomatoes. It is all so easy and joyful if you think about it, being overfed and free in America. You get rid of all the tacky furniture and you buy new. You hire the painter, lilacs bloom, a good movie goes to video. You sleep like the dead. The children who can't go home again are stories in the newspaper. You want to cancel because it's all bad news. You've raised your children. Most of us are not pure. Every choice is a loss. It's not my life that is difficult. I know there's sorrow, but there's nothing I can do. Give a little money, volunteer for some things. I'd go to church if I thought it'd do any good. It feels fresh here in the garden, washed by the rain and the sun shines. The pepper plants are blooming.